AuthorityResearch.com. Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The Institution for Authority Research. An Overview of the Dialectic Process, Part 1, by Dean Gocher. The following audios are done by computer-generated voice. I apologize up front for mispronunciations, changes in volume, and speed. 1 John 2 verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. First, a crash course on the Father's authority exposing its antithesis, the dialectic process, Marxism, contemporary education, what is going on in your local classrooms today, as well as all across the nation and around the world. That is the rejection of the Father's authority in academics, as explained through the scriptures. I dread doing this, starting with the scriptures as my experience during the 5,000 meetings I've had over the 18 years I was on the road lecturing on the dialectic process in the light of God's word, was that of Christians being enamored with all the quotations of those of dialectic reasoning, but going to sleep on me the moment I quoted the word of God. Oh, we have heard those before. Do you have anything new? Not realizing that God has addressed the dialectic process in his word. We cannot readily see the difference between discussion and dialogue on our own. We have to be told. They are two different political systems we have within us. Discussion is of the Father, telling us right from wrong when it comes to behavior, with the Father having the final say. This is known as objective truth. This is true of the earthly family as it is of the heavenly family, with the Father establishing what is right and what is wrong behavior, having the final say. Dialogue is of the child, establishing right from wrong when it comes to behavior according to his carnal nature, with the child having the final say. This is known as subjective truth. When behavior is made subject to dialogue, the child's carnal nature is justified. This is what dialectic reasoning is, men justifying themselves before one another, what God calls an abomination. Luke 16 verse 15. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. In discussion, the Father is God, making the child subject to his established commands, rules, facts, and truth. In dialogue, the child is God, making behavior subject to his carnal nature and the world that stimulates it. The soul knows from being told, making it subject to discussion, the Father's authority. The flesh knows by sense experience, making it subject to the world that stimulates it, therefore subject to whoever is manipulating it. Bohm and Pete explained the difference between discussion and dialogue in their book Science, Order, and Creativity. In an ordinary discussion, people usually hold relatively fixed positions and argue in favor of their views as they try to convince others to change. A dialogue is essentially a conversation between equals. The spirit of dialogue is, in short, the ability to hold many points of view in suspension, along with a primary interest in the creation of common meaning. While the scriptures warn us of the danger of using dialogue when it comes to defining and establishing behavior, Jürgen Habermas, a Marxist, a member of the Frankfurt School, explained the role of dialogue in the building of relationship with others upon common self-interest, upon lust. In the dialogic relation of recognizing oneself in the other, they experience the common ground of their existence. Jürgen Habermas, Knowledge and Human Interest, Chapter 3, The Idea of the Theory of Knowledge as Social Theory. The answer to the dialectic process, that is to your use of dialogue to justify yourself, is found in the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself, by his obedience to his heavenly Father, covering our sins by his own blood, redeeming us from the Father's wrath upon us for our use of dialectic reasoning to justify ourself, with the Father raising him from the grave, reconciling us to himself, with the Son calling us to deny our lusts, endure the rejection of others for not affirming their lusts, and follow him, walking in the Spirit, doing his heavenly Father's will. If you do not start there, none of this matters. You will just use dialectic reasoning to justify yourself. There is nothing in the creation that can rescue you from your use of it. The following scriptures are edifying to me. I hope they are to you. They address the dialectic process, defining what it is, giving us the answer on how to respond, starting with the Son of God himself. John 5 verse 30, Jesus said, "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." John 12 verses 47 to 50, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say, and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Jeremiah 10 verse 23, "It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." Matthew 12 verse 50, "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." Matthew 7 verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Matthew 10 verses 32 to 38. "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Matthew 23 verse 9, "And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven." Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Matthew 6 verse 24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Romans 6 verse 16, "Know ye not, that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness?" Romans 10 verse 17, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." James 1 verses 14 and 15, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Proverbs 16 verse 25, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." 1 John 2 verse 18, "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Jeremiah 17 verse 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Luke 16 verse 15, "And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God." Psalms 36 verses 1 to 4, "The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes, until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise, and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil." James 4 verses 1 to 3. "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." Romans 5 verse 13. "For until the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law." Romans 7 verse 7, "I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet." Psalms 10 verses 3 and 4, "For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." 2 Peter 2 verse 3, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Genesis 3 verses 1 to 6. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. 2 Timothy 4:3, 4, For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Matthew 16 verse 26, For what is a man profited, if he shall gain the whole world, and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? John 2 verse 22, He is Antichrist, that beneath the Father and the Son. Jeremiah 6 verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, We will not walk therein. Jeremiah 6:10, 13-19, Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. Hebrews 12 verses 5-11. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards, and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Romans 7 verses 14-25. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that, when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Ephesians 2 verses 2 and 3, Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Ephesians 5 verses 5-7, Let no man deceive you with vain words, For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Colossians 2 verse 8, Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. John 14 verse 6, For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. 2 Corinthians 6 verses 15 to 18. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Galatians 6 verse 8, For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Colossians 3 verses 5 to 10, Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time, when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Romans 8 verses 12 to 15. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Galatians 5 verse 16, This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 1 verse 10, Do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. John 5 verse 30, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. Romans 5 verse 1. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Matthew 4 verse 4. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9. Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:18, 21. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For after that in the wisdom of God the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The gospel message is all about the Father, with the Son of God, Jesus Christ, in obedience to his Father shedding his blood on the cross, paying for our sins, redeeming us from his Father's wrath upon us for our doing the dialectic process, for our denying his authority, doing our will instead of his, with the Father raising him from the grave, reconciling us to himself. Whoever refuses to be told, that is, refuses to have faith, cannot be saved. If you start with the Father, doing what he says, then you cannot do what you want when it goes against his will, without having a guilty conscience. The love of the heavenly Father, as well as the earthly Father, if he is doing as he should, is toward you, giving of himself for you, chastening you to protect you from those who would take advantage of you, is different than your love for self and the lusts of the moment that the world is stimulating, with those justifying your lusts, your lust for pleasure and your lust for the affirmation of others, using dialectic reasoning to gain control over you, in order to use you for their own pleasure and gain. John 3 verse 16, For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 John 2 verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. As we read in Hebrews 12 above, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Those of and for the world know that if you start with yourself, with what you want, you have to get rid of the Father so you can do what you want without having a guilty conscience, without having a sense of guilt where they can then use you without your knowledge. You are getting what you want, at least at first, until you wake up, it then being too late, the deed having been done. Carl Rogers. If we have the power or authority to establish the necessary conditions, the predicted behaviors, our potential ability to influence or control the behavior of groups will follow. We can choose to use our growing knowledge to enslave people in ways never dreamed of before, depersonalizing them, controlling them by means so carefully selected that they will perhaps never be aware of their loss of personhood. Carl Rogers, On Becoming a Person, A Therapist's View of Psychotherapy, Kurt Lewin. It is usually easier to change individuals formed into a group than to change any one of them separately. The individual accepts the new system of values and beliefs by accepting belongingness to the group. Kurt Lewin and Kenneth Binney, Human Relations and Curriculum Change. When you do it in a group, it makes it easier. They're affirming your lust as you affirm theirs results in you not having to fear their judging, condemning, and casting you out for your carnal thoughts and carnal actions, known as theory and practice, until they lose interest in you, find someone else of more interest, or you get in their way. Those of and for the world then own you, buying and selling your soul as human resource to satisfy their lusts. The dialectic process in a nutshell is your ability, through dialogue with yourself and with others, to justify yourself, your lust, so you can sin without having a guilty conscience with their affirmation. What dialogue does when it comes to behavior is negate discussion, where the Father tells you what is right and what is wrong behavior, with him having the final say for your soul's sake, resulting in you instead, for the pleasures of the moment, selling your soul to those of and for the world, losing your inheritance from the Father, eternal life, the pleasures of the moment being in the moment, more important to you than where you will spend eternity. What you lose, that is what is missing in dialogue, is the Father's authority. Therefore there is no inheritance, posterity, history, tradition, unalienable rights, sovereignty, representation, representative government, limited government, local control, culture, heritage, absolutes, established commands, rules, facts, and truth, private convictions, private property, and private business, limits and measures, being wrong, humbling, denying, dying to, disciplining, controlling, capitulating of, self, contrition, repentance, forgiveness, salvation, conversion, redemption and reconciliation, for doing wrong, disobeying, sinning, fellowship, and eternal life. They are all missing, negated, in and through your use of dialogue when it comes to behavior. Apart from the Father, all you have to look forward to is eternal death, missing out on eternal life. This those of and for the world will not tell you that, only being interested in what they can get out of you for today. 1 John 2 verse 18, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 50, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Even René Philip Miller recognized the effect dialectic reasoning, the justification of your lusts, has upon your soul. René Philip Miller, To Purge Man of Sin with All the Aids of the Dialectics, therefore, is to rob him of true salvation. René Philip Miller, The Power and Secrets of the Jesuits. When you remove discussion, what the Father says, what you have been told, restraining you from dialogue, from what you want, all you have is your lusts of the moment that the world is stimulating, dying in your sins. The role of the therapist and the Marxist is to make discussion subject to dialogue, the father subject to the child's carnal nature. negating the father's authority in the process so they, as a predator, charlatan, pimp, pedophile can use the child for their own pleasure and gain. Carl Rogers, a Marxist, prior to therapy, the person is prone to ask himself, "What would my parents want me to do?" During the process of therapy, the individual comes to ask himself, "What does it mean to me?" In dialogue, you are in control, having the final say. In discussion, the father is in control, having the final say. All discussion by man is subject to the laws of nature which God has established. Only that discussion which comes from God, that is from God's word, regarding your behavior is not of the world. Romans 10 verse 17. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." When you make behavior subject to dialogue, you make behavior subject to the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. To only that which is of the world, those of and for the world, know that by seducing you into sharing with them what you are dialoguing with yourself about, when it comes to behavior, and justifying it, they are able to deceive you into believing that you are in control with them, having your best interest in mind, thereby with you trusting them, being able to manipulate you into following after them, serving, protecting, defending, praising, worshiping, and even willingly dying for them, at least giving your time and money to them, for justifying your lusts. Anytime you participate in it, be positive, not negative. We can share how we feel and what we think without being judged, condemned, or cast out classroom or meeting. You are selling your soul to those of and for the world. 2 Peter 2 verse 3. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. In one half of a verse, God describes the whole process of change, the dialectic process, dialectic reasoning, the new world order. Despite what fallen man might think, God's word is impeccable. Next, a crash course in Marxism. Why? Because it is the world we now live in, with the praxis of Genesis 3 verses 1 to 6, the rejection, and therefore negation, of the Father's authority, the scriptures above, as its agenda. For the Marxist, human nature is all there is, with behavior science justifying it. Human nature is only of and for the world, making all things subject to stimulus response. When you make academics subject to human nature, to behavior science, to stimulus response, then the affective domain, which includes lust or self-interest, is included, justifying the rejection, and therefore negation, of the Father's authority as the curriculum. There is no Father's authority in lust. Lust is your body's rejection, therefore negation, of the Father's authority. Lust for pleasure is a part of human nature, thus lust is justified by behavior science. Lust is like a drug. Once you are on it, it is hard, if not impossible, to get off it. You will do whatever it takes to have your next fix. Those who justify human nature, that is, who justify lust, dopamine emancipation, explained below, are drug pushers. Once they get you on it, they own you, buying and selling your soul, using you as human resource for their own gain, casting you aside, along with the unborn, the elderly, the innocent, the righteous. When you no longer bring them pleasure, or someone else brings them more pleasure, or you get in their way, doing to you what you did to the Father for getting in your way, you reap what you sow. Including lust as being a part of human nature, that is, as being normal, makes man at one with lust and the world that stimulates it, that is, makes man only of the world, Karl Marx. Sense experience must be the basis of all science. Science is only genuine science when it proceeds from sense experience, in the two forms of sense perception and sensuous need, that is, only when it proceeds from nature. Karl Marx, Mega I/3. Karl Marx simply secularized 1 John 2 verse 16, redefining the lust of the flesh as sensuous need, the lust of the eyes as sense perception, and the pride of life as sense experience, making that which is only of the world, that is, that which only proceeds from nature, all there is to life. Psychology is in full agreement. Carl Rogers, experience is, for me, the highest authority. Neither the Bible nor the prophets, neither the revelations of God can take precedence over my own direct experience. In this process, the individual becomes more open to his experience. It is the opposite of defensiveness or rigidity. His beliefs are not rigid. He can tolerate ambiguity. Sigmund Freud hated the father's authority. Psychology, that is, behavior science, is all about negating the father's authority in the thoughts of the individual, justifying his carnal thoughts and carnal actions. Herbert Marcuse, quoting Sigmund Freud, wrote of Freud's History of Man, "The hatred against patriarchal suppression, the barrier to incest, the desire for the sons to return to the mother culminates in the rebellion of the exiled sons, the collective killing and devouring of the father. It is not really a decisive matter whether one has killed one's father or abstained from the deed, if the function of the conflict and its consequences are the same." Sigmund Freud and Herbert Marcuse, Eros and Civilization. A psychological inquiry into Freud, Sigmund Freud's History of the Prodigal Son is not of the son coming to his senses, humbling himself, returning home, submitting himself to his father's authority, learning his inheritance was not his father's money, but his father's love for him, Luke 15 verses 11 to 24, but of the sons uniting as one, returning home, killing the father, the barrier to incest, taking all that was the father's, using it to satisfy their carnal desires, that is their lusts, killing all the fathers in the land so all the children could be like them, affirming their lust for pleasure and hatred toward restraint, following after, serving, protecting, defending, praising, worshiping, and even willingly dying for them for justifying their lusts. Norman O. Brown explains Sigmund Freud's interpretation of history as that of man using reasoning to liberate himself from the father's authority, coming to know himself in the process. Norman Brown, with information added for clarification, according to Freud, the ultimate essence of our being is erotic. Eros is fundamentally a desire for union with objects in the world. Eros is the foundation of morality. Freud saw that in the ID there is no negation, that is, there is no parental authority, no godly restraint, no cannot, must not, thou shalt not in the ID, only affirmation and eternity, that is, only the child's natural inclination to lust after pleasure and hate restraint, which includes the hate of missing out on pleasure. Children have not acquired that sense of shame which, according to the biblical story, expelled mankind from paradise, and which, presumably, would be discarded if paradise were regained. If, lusting after pleasure, the eternal present became the agenda, that is, lust became the drive of life and its augmentation the purpose, the repression of normal adult sexuality is required only by cultures which are based on patriarchal domination, upon doing the father's will. Our repressed desires are the desires we had unrepressed in childhood, and they are sexual desires. Sigmund Freud considered all children to be sexually active. Parental discipline, religious denunciation of bodily pleasure, have all left man overly docile, but secretly in his unconscious, that is, in his urges and impulses of the moment, which are being stimulated by the world, unconvinced, and therefore neurotic, caught between his desire for parental approval and his lust for the carnal pleasures of the moment that the world is stimulating, having a guilty conscience for thinking about or doing the latter. The foundation on which the man of the future will be built is already there, in the repressed unconscious. The foundation has to be recovered. By liberating the child from the guilty conscience, which requires the negation of the father's authority, which is its source. Norman O. Brown, Life Against Death. The psychoanalytical meaning of history. The famous philosopher George Hegel explained the basis of that foundation, which is the basis of all philosophy, psychology, sociology. The child, contrary to appearance, is the absolute, the rationality of the relationship. He is what is enduring and everlasting, the totality which produces itself once again as such. George Hegel, System of Ethical Life. According to dialectic reasoning, it is only when the child is liberated from the father's authority to become as he was before the father's first command, rule, fact, or truth came into his life, separating him from his self and the world, he can become himself, self-actualized, only of and for the world. Marxism and psychology are one and the same. with Sigmund Freud removing the father's authority from the mind of the individual and Karl Marx removing the father's authority from society. Abraham Maslow made it clear. Marxian theory, that is, removal of the father's authority from society, needs Freudian type instinct theory, that is, the child's natural inclination to lust after pleasure and hate restraint, to round it out. And of course, vice versa. Third force psychology is also apomarxian in these senses, that is, including the most basic scheme as true good social conditions, that is, liberating the child from the father's authority so they can be their self, are necessary for personal growth. Bad social conditions, that is, submission of self to the father's authority, stunt human nature. This is to say, one could reinterpret Marx into a self-actualization fostering third and fourth force psychology philosophy. And my impression is anyway that this is the direction in which they are going now. Abraham Maslow, The Journals of Abraham Maslow. For the Marxist, lust for pleasure is the drive of life, making the augmentation of lust, the removal of the father's authority, the purpose. When you make building relationship upon self-interest, that is, upon lust, the agenda, lusting after pleasure and hating restraint, human nature becomes the norm. In dialogue with yourself and with others, there is no father's authority. Therefore, there is no sin other than the sin of your not setting aside, that is, negating, the father's commands, rules, facts, and truth in order to get along with others. There is only your and the other person's carnal desires, your and their lusts and sins of the moment being justified. For Karl Marx, since all are dialoguing with themselves what they are lusting after, hating restraint, what Karl Marx called critical criticism, since all are sinners, what gives a parent, a boss, the king, or any authority the right to judge, condemn, and cast a sinner out, ground the child, not hire but fire the worker, imprison the thief for sinning. Karl Marx. Not feeling at home in the sinful world, critical criticism must set up a sinful world in its own home. Critical criticism is a spiritualistic lord, pure spontaneity, actus perus, intolerant of any influence from without. Karl Marx, the Holy Family. Karl Marx made lust for pleasure the measure for reality. To enjoy the present reconciles us to the actual. Karl Marx, Critique of Hegel's Philosophy of Right. Marxism is putting aside differences in position, negating the father's authority in the process in order to work together on a project. The father's authority resides in what you are talking to yourself about, that you are wanting to do that he has told you you cannot do. When you do what you want to do that you were told you were not to do for the sake of relationship with others, you make relationship with others, lust for pleasure more important than doing what the father says, negating the father's authority in the process. Mao Zedong. Words and actions should help to unite, and not divide, the people. For the Marxist, the source of individualism is the individual doing the father's will against his carnal nature, what he has in common with all mankind. The Marxist, rejecting the issue of sin and the need for salvation, focuses only upon the restraints the Christian imposes upon his carnal nature. Karl Marx wrote of the Christian, "The unspeculative Christian also recognizes sensuality as long as it does not assert itself at the expense of true reason, that is, of faith, of true love, that is, of love of God, of true willpower, that is, of will in Christ. Not for the sake of sensual love, not for the lust of the flesh, but because the Lord said, increase and multiply." Karl Marx, The Holy Family. For the Marxist, the solution to Christian faith is the believer's recognition of sensuality, his potential to lust, the potential for change. Karl Marx. It is not sensuality which is presented, but the attraction of what is forbidden. Karl Marx, The Holy Family. For the Marxist, the father's authority is created when children obey their father, when their father's commands, rules, facts, and truth go against their carnal nature, inhibiting or blocking them from enjoying their lusts of the moment that the world is stimulating. Karl Marx. The life which he has given to the object sets itself against him as an alien and hostile force. Karl Marx, Mega I/3. For the Marxist, it is everyone recognizing and uniting upon what they have in common, their lust for pleasure and hatred toward restraint that overcomes the father's authority. It is in their uniting upon lust, upon their common self-interests, which dialogue brings forth, that the Father's authority is negated in the thoughts of the people, justifying their actions. For the Marxist, having rejected the Heavenly Father's authority outright, the Heavenly Father's authority is created when children honor their earthly father's authority. For the Marxist, the only solution to overcoming the Heavenly Father's authority is to negate the earthly father's authority in the thoughts of the individual, as well as removing his authority from society. Karl Marx. Once the earthly family is discovered to be the secret of the Holy Family, the former must then itself be destroyed in theory and in practice. Karl Marx, Feuerbach Thesis No. 4, Max Horkheimer, a Marxist, a director of the Frankfurt School, Protestantism was the strongest force in the extension of cold rational individualism. Max Horkheimer, Reasoning and Self-Preservation, Martin Luther warned of the effect removing God's word, that is the Father's authority from academics, would have upon the students. I greatly fear that the universities, unless they teach the Holy Scriptures diligently and impress them on the young students, are wide gates to hell. I would advise no one to send his child where the Holy Scriptures are not supreme. Every institution that does not unceasingly pursue the study of God's Word becomes corrupt. Luther's Works. Volume 1, The Christian in Society. For the Marxist, individualism is created when children obey their earthly father, making their and everyone else's behavior subject to his commands, rules, facts, and truth. Society can only be created when the child compromises, that is, sets aside his father's commands, rules, facts, and truth in order to get along with or build relationships with others. It is the traditional family, with the father in authority, that creates individualism, with each child being personally held accountable to the father's standards for his thoughts, when expressed, and behavior, dividing him from the other children in the community when he refuses to compromise his father's standards in order to build relations. Karl Marx. It is not individualism that fulfills the individual. On the contrary, it destroys him. Society is the necessary framework through which freedom and individuality are made realities. Karl Marx and John Lewis, The Life and Teachings of Karl Marx, The Marxist's Answer to Individualism and Division. Since children come from different homes with different standards, is to focus on the children's self-interests, making their lust for pleasure and resentment toward restraint the focus of attention in order to overcome the effect the father's authority has on them, that is their having to humble and die to their self, having to deny their lusts in order to do right and not wrong. According to his established commands, rules, facts, and truth. Karl Marx. The philosophers have only interpreted the world in different ways. The objective, however, is change. Karl Marx, Feuerbach Thesis No. 11. Imprinted on Marx's tomb, so it must be important. While change for the father is changing from one position to another, that is from your position to his position, from doing your will to doing his will, for those of and for the world, change is the individual's immediate response to the current situation and or object, people, or person present, imagined or real, that is stimulating either pleasure or pain, with pain including the pain which comes with missing out on pleasure, or the potential of missing out on pleasure. This is where desperately wicked or critical criticism comes into play. For the Marxist, those who are stimulating and augmenting pleasure, that is being positive, are right or good, and those who are inhibiting or blocking pleasure, that is being negative, are wrong or evil, needing to be either converted or silenced, censored, and or removed from the environment for the good of the people. The Marxist agenda is not to add to a person's behavior, telling him how to behave, but removing from the person that which prevents him from becoming himself, preventing him from doing what comes naturally to him, lusting after pleasure. Jürgen Habermas, a Marxist, a member of the Frankfurt School, if the restoring of life of the world is to be conceived in terms of the Christian revelation, then Marx must collapse into a bottomless abyss. Jürgen Habermas, Theory and Practice. The Marxist knows that what he is doing is evil, but does it anyway, taking pleasure in those who do it with him. Romans 1 verses 28 to 32. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. All teachers are certified in schools accredited today based upon their use of Bloom's taxonomies as their curriculum in the classroom. Bloom admitted they are unprovable and are based upon the worldview, Weltanschauung, of Marxism. Citing two Marxists in his taxonomies, as an example, Eric Fromm and Theodor Adorno. In his book, 40-Year Evaluation, published 40 years after the publishing of his first taxonomy, Bloom wrote, "Certainly the taxonomy was unproved at the time it was developed and may well be unprovable." In the first taxonomy, he identified his work as in agreement with Karl Marx's rejection of absolutes. Benjamin Bloom. "We recognize the point of view that truth and knowledge are only relative and that there are no hard and fast truths which exist for all time and places." Benjamin Bloom, Taxonomy of Educational Objectives, Book 1. Cognitive Domain. Friedrich Engels, a friend of Karl Marx, explained Marxism this way. "In the eyes of the dialectic philosophy, nothing is established for all times. Nothing is absolute or sacred." Bloom established the child's carnal nature, the affective domain, which he compared to Pandora's box. A box full of evils, which once opened cannot be closed over and therefore against the father's authority. Liberating the students from their parents' authority and therefore society from God's authority is what Bloom's taxonomies are all about. They have been in use in the classrooms across America from the 50s and 60s. We have witnessed the changing of a nation because of them. In the taxonomies we read, there are many stories of the conflict and tension that these new practices are producing between parents and children. Bloom's taxonomies are a psychological classification system used to develop attitudes and values which are not shaped by the parents. Good teaching is the teacher's ability to attain effective objectives through challenging the student's fixed beliefs. The affective domain is, in retrospect, a virtual Pandora's box. The affective domain contains the forces that determine the nature of an individual's life and ultimately the life of an entire people. Taxonomy of Educational Objectives, Book 2, Affective Domain. As cited earlier, Bloom noted two Marxists as being the worldview of his taxonomies, Eric Fromm and Theodor Adorno. What they both have in common is the rejection of, that is, negation of the father's authority in education. Eric Fromm. "We are proud that in his conduct of life man has become free from external authorities, which tell him what to do and what not to do. All that matters is to give up God." Eric Fromm, Escape from Freedom, Theodor Adorno. Authoritarian submission as conceived of as a very general attitude that would be evoked in relation to a variety of authority figures, parents, older people, leaders, supernatural power, and so forth. God is conceived more directly after a parental image and thus as a source of support and as a guiding and sometimes punishing authority. Submission to authority, desire for a strong leader, subservience of the individual to the state, parental authority, local control, nationalism, and so forth, have so frequently and, as it seems to us, correctly, been set forth as important aspects of the Nazi creed that a search for correlates of prejudice had naturally to take these attitudes into account. Family relationships are characterized by fearful subservience to the demands of the parents and by an early suppression of impulses not acceptable to them. The power relationship between the parents, the domination of the subject's family by the father or by the mother, and their relative dominance in specific areas of life also seemed of importance for our problem. Theodor Adorno, The Authoritarian Personality. The use of dialogue, where the individual has the final say based upon his carnal nature, that is his lust for pleasure and dissatisfaction, resentment, or hatred toward the father and his authority for getting in the way, being positive, tolerant of the deviant, building relationship with the deviant based upon common self-interests, and not being negative, judging, condemning, and cast the deviant out, that is warning the deviant of God's judgment upon him, as well as refusing to build relationship with him because of his immoral thoughts and immoral actions, is the Marxist solution to overcoming the father's authority in the individual and in society. It is the purpose of the group grade in the classroom, training up the students to be Marxists. The teacher does not have to tell the students to attack their parents' authority when they get home from school. All they have to do is, through the dialoguing of their opinions to a consensus, justify their lusts, their affective domain, in the classroom, and they will do that automatically when they get home. Herbert Marcuse and Norman Brown Best explain the source of Marxism and psychology. Herbert Marcuse: the original sin must be committed again. We must again eat from the tree of knowledge in order to fall back into the state of innocence. Herbert Marcuse, Eros and Civilization: A Psychological Inquiry into Freud, Norman Brown. To experience Freud is to partake a second time of the forbidden fruit, Norman O. Brown, Life Against Death. The psychoanalytical meaning of history, everyone says, make it simple. It is simple. Do what the father says. But nobody want to hear that today. At least not many. They like to mingle discussion, what the father says with dialogue, with what they think, justifying their self, their lusts, their likes, negating the father's authority in the process. Now you know what Marxism is, the choosing of human relationship, sight, all that is of the world over and therefore against. The father's authority, faith, doing the father's will. It cannot be equal. You have to choose one or the others. It is what Adam did in the Garden in Eden, choosing to follow the woman, dialogue, relationship instead of God, discussion, fellowship. If you are concerned about your children's social life instead of where they will spend eternity, you cannot have both. You are a Marxist. You can deny it, but you cannot refute it. Having read and studied over 600 social psychology books over a 5-year period, evaluating them from the Word of God, for we are not to be ignorant of Satan's devices, taught a 480-level class in a university on the subject of dialectic reasoning, which is man reasoning from his carnal desires, from his lusts, plural in that it is not only his lust for pleasure that the world is stimulating, but also his lust for the approval of others, with their lusting for his approval, affirming his lusts, driving 30,000 miles a year over an 18-year period, traveling coast to coast giving 5,000 lectures, including radio and TV explaining the process of change to parents, teachers, university students, congregations and their ministers, government workers, town councils, state and federal legislators and senators, even federal judges, since the passing of Karen, my wife, on October 11, 2023, who I miss beyond words. I have dedicated my time totally to this website, explaining the process of change as clear as I can to whoever stops by and takes time to read and or listen. I may be up to traveling again and speaking. If you are interested in hosting a meeting, let me know. DeanGotcher@gmail.com. Institution for Authority Research, Dean Gocher 1997 to 2024.